Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast with your hosts, Corndog and Eric.
Welcome to the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast, episode number 68, July 5th, 2022. I'm your co-host, Corndog, sitting here with my buddy, Eric.
Whoop, whoop. What's up, everybody?
How was everybody's 4th of July? How'd you do yesterday, Eric?
Man, 4th of July was awesome. Probably my favorite holiday. Just
kaboom.
You know, freedom, baby.
Yeah.
I got up early, about 6 a.m., and took my daughter for a ride. And that was her first real kind of big kids ride, big bike ride. So she's ridden the 125 a few times, gone out a couple times with friends on it and stuff. But she hasn't ridden a lot since she came off the 65. She grew so fast. She's 13 years old, but she grew so fast that, like, just, man, she passed up.
She's like 6 foot two or something.
Oh, not quite, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, she's jumped on that 125, and she's doing really good. So I took her out for a little kind of a see where she's at ride, right? So I was like, well, we'll take some two-track stuff and just stay on some little bit harder pack stuff to see how she does. And she was staying right behind me, man, just cruising really well. And so we started hitting some other trails that got into some downhills and some sand and some rocky uphills. And, man, dude, she's killing it. So
that's awesome.
I was pretty stoked to see her progress, and she surprised me. So it was fun. We did probably a 25-mile loop, and she hung with me the whole time. So she even topped the bike out, fifth gear pinned down the whitewash road. It's a nice straightaway road, but she wasn't scared to open that thing up and hold it wide open. I was like, holy crap, scared me. But anyway, it was great. Good ride. And then we, you know, from there, came home, got ready for the parade, and went down and hung out in the parade, did the whole kids games and 4th of July games. They do money scramble and the fire hoses for the kids and watermelon bust and all kinds of cool stuff. So
very cool.
How about you? You have a good 4th?
Yeah, it was all right. I kind of been hiding out all weekend, just doing some odd jobs and working on the moto van, and decided to go on a ride last night before the fireworks, and did about a 20-mile loop. And first time I've been on the bike since my work Cedar City crash. Neck is still a little stiff, but had to get on the bike. Nice. I felt pretty good. So
nice, cool.
Up in the mountains and single track and stuff. So
cool. Yeah.
And sat and watched fireworks and did whatever.
That's a good weekend, man.
Yeah, on the moto van, I got my bed installed, and it's kind of a bunk bed that's above the bike, so it's coming along. I can actually hit the road if I wanted to, and have a place to sleep without unloading the bikes. And before I clean it all up, we're gonna run all the electrical and the inverter and the batteries and hook it all up to my solar that's already there and box it all in.
Nice. Yeah, just crushing that van life. Tell you what, it's life changing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Has just absolutely loved my van. So super cool. If you get the opportunity, grab a van and enjoy it. But speaking of 4th of July and freedom, is there anything that makes you feel more free than riding a dirt bike?
No, and that's probably why I went out yesterday.
I think that's the addiction behind it, is just when you go out and ride, it just clears your mind.
Oh, yeah.
You literally can't think of all the stresses and everything else. Like, it's just you and the bike and the desert, and yeah, it's great.
I needed it. I needed it. It kind of put another spark in me. I was kind of feeling down the last couple of days, and put a spark in me, and I'm over here all smiles.
There you go. There's the tip of the show from Corndog. If you're down and out, get on the bike, man. Just go for a ride.
Heck yeah.
Well, on this show, we just wanted to bring to you some bike setup, and actually just we're sitting out in the shop, out in my bike shop here, staring at the bikes. And
our guest kind of counseled on us. He had some work issues coming up, so he got a hold of me, and we rescheduled for a couple weeks down the road, and
it's going to be a good show, so I'm excited to hear his story. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so we'll catch up with him when things slow down.
And all the guests are awesome, though. I mean, every guest we've had on it, I listen to our shows over and over again.
Yeah, it's been really fun to hear everybody's story and just capture some history. And
I'm a big fan of the Desert Dirt Biker podcast. How about you?
Love it. Best show out there.
Yeah.
We're like patting ourselves on the back.
We got some big things coming, and we cannot wait to announce. So, chomping at the bits.
We may. Can we like...
We'll go ahead.
Break the ice.
A little bit, yeah.
All right.
Which
so,
one, though?
We got so several things. On, we're working on some permits from the local BLM office to host the Desert Dirt Biker podcast trail ride. Something we've been talking about for a while. Last year we did a little, just a group of friends and did a ride last year as a group of buddies, but we had a good turnout and things were pretty fun. So everybody that came last year was like, dude, you guys gotta do this again and pull it off officially so we can invite everybody. And so we're working on that. We're working behind the scenes really hard to get the Desert Dirt Biker trail ride going. Would love to have all you guys come out. As soon as we get the green light and permitting and stuff, we'll start promoting it. But for right now, that's what we're working on. Corndog's working super hard behind the scenes with all his contacts. So I'm kind of just moral support, or I don't know what I'm doing.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. And definitely a lot more info to come. And you guys that made it last year on our little fun ride, show up again, bring a friend. And all you guys that didn't make it last year, this will be like our...
first official year.
Yeah, first official year. And if it turns out good, we might do it every year.
For sure. So, yeah, anyway, some really cool stuff we're working on and would love to have you guys join us. Anyway, on that note, yeah, this show we wanted to just fill in. Like Corndog said, we're probably going to keep it pretty short, but just wanted to go over some product reviews / bike setup, you know, what we like. As far as bike setup, suspension, handling,
when we get a new bike.
Triangle, all that. Well, not just a new bike, but like even if you're trying to set it up to go racing, you know, we race Legacy, Baja, Moran, Works. So we're going to talk about our setups, what we like, how we set our bikes up. Some things that you might want to try, you know, if the suspension's doing certain things, how you can counter it and make it better, different products that we use, why we use those products, all that. So that's what's coming up here. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about a couple different brands and styles of bikes, models, whatever you want to call it. So you want to jump in and take off?
Yeah, we'll just keep going.
Give us a rundown on what you think.
First off, we got my old Honda sitting here. We're redoing a valve job. Got Narek to help me do that, put a new piston in it, and found out that the head itself, the seats were too far gone. So I'm actually...
The valve seats.
Yeah. So we thought we were just going to throw some new stuff in there and new shims, and it was good, and we just couldn't get it shimmed right.
Yeah, so the Honda 250Xs, this is a 04, 05, 06 models, that era. They kind of had some issues with the heads where the material was too soft, and so as the valve slapped the head, it would eventually wear into the head seats and wear those down. The valves also were notorious for stretching and starting to tulip, which means that the stem gets longer and you lose your valve clearance. And so we assumed that it was just the valves had stretched and that we were beyond our shimmable limit. We were at the smallest shim. So we got the Kibblewhite Black Diamond Valve Kit or whatever it is. It's the Kibblewhite kit for that bike. We got the springs, the valves, keepers, all that. And so we went to work rebuilding the head. We got everything in place, and we were still using the smallest shim, which means our heads or our valve seats. Our valve seats were out of spec. So we're going to send that head to Fast Heads in St. George.
Yep, I'm delivering it personally tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll take that down to Fast Heads in St. George, Utah, and those guys will do their magic. They'll put some new seats in it, and we will get that head rebuilt. So anyway, that's in the works with that bike, but did you have anything else on the 250X you wanted to talk about?
Just, it's basically my trail bike. I did race it in 2019 in works before I got my two-stroke Yamaha. It's almost bulletproof, but with the electric start and everything, it's going to be perfect for my trail riding and mark and race course for the Ground Shakers, the Nevada 200, and our podcast trail ride if it's coming up. So just a fun bike.
Yeah, so I actually have that exact same bike sitting in the garage here. I sold it to my brother, pretty much gave it to him. while we're on that topic, I'll just talk a little bit about that bike because it's honestly one of the best handling bikes I've ever ridden. It's a Honda 250X, Honda CRF 250X. Being a 250, it's a lighter bike and all that, but electric start, the X models, the Desert model, it comes with the rear 18-inch wheel, Desert suspension setup and all that. But some of the notable things that I did to that bike, kind of funny story, I actually bought that bike in a box of parts.
Wow.
So I paid $300 for it. It was a 2004. Bought it in a box of parts. The motor was completely torn apart into a box. You know, they had it in a box of parts. And so I paid $300 for it, and then I bought all replacement parts and did a full motor rebuild from the crank up. And while I was at it, I did the 280 Athena big bore kit. So bumped it up a little bit in CCs and power.
Yours is the 250 or the 450?
It's a 250.
Same
yep.
bike.
Yep, same bike. So we did the FMF. Can't even remember what model pipes on this thing, but it's the Power Bomb FMF with the Power Core 4 silencer. And like I said, the 280 big bore kit. It's got Racetech gold valves in the suspension, and I'll tell you what, that really made this bike just handle super, super good. I went with the Renthal twin wall bars, the GPR4 stabilizer, under the bar stabilizer with the mount. The Renthals are the 998s. I love that bend. Great bend. Had the Desert tank on it, and I did the airbox modifications. There's some mods that you can do to the airbox and clip the pink wire. That was like an emissions thing. Anyway, there's quite a few little hacks on this bike that you can do to make them more reliable and open them up a little bit. But I cut the airbox, opened that up, and cut the backfire screen out of the air filter. That opened it up a little bit more even. And then I think, I'm pretty sure I put a Trailtech stator in it, so that we could run a little extra lighting for the night races, because I kind of built that bike purpose-built for the night races. But anyway, all those were really good mods for that bike. The thing it handled really, really well. So, what about your YZ250? How's your setup on that?
So, the setup on it, I have, it's the 250X, So it comes stock with 18-inch rear wheel and the 6-speed. So when I first got it, first things I do to a bike when I first get a bike is put all the guards on it, skid plate, spark arrestor, because our local racing, we have to have a spark arrestor.
Yep.
I put a flywheel weight in it. I cannot talk.
So what weight? Do you remember?
It's a 13-ounce.
Okay. And the heavy one. So I think it's they have 11 and 13, or maybe 11, 12.
And it depends
and
on which brand you make
right.
or buy. So I got the 13-ounce in there. I haven't ridden the bike without it.
The stealthy flywheel? I can't remember.
That's been a couple years. Yeah. Almost ready for a new bike. anyway, I haven't ridden the bike without it, but when I hit hills and stuff, it kind of lugs right up there. I've never stalled out on a bike, so whether that's the flywheel weight doing its job.
Yeah, I had a 2006 YZ250. I did the same thing. I did the stealthy flywheel weight, 13-ounce, and it made it more tractory, a little more lug through stuff.
Yeah, it keeps that like the clutch as much.
Keeps the inertia, keeps it moving a little bit better, not stalling in like technical situations. So yeah, cool.
Yeah. I have a Scott stabilizer on it, Phoenix handlebars. I love them. If you don't know Phoenix handlebars story, we've had the owner of Phoenix on our show, one of our past podcasts. Anyway,
super cool dude.
Yeah, super cool. He worked for Malcolm Smith, Fox Racing, and now he went off and did his own handlebar thing. So pretty cool story. What else do I have on there? That's pretty much it. Of course, the Nitro Moose bibs. I changed.
Desert tank.
Yeah, I got the desert tank on there. Moose bibs. Eric's the one that got me involved in that.
What about jetting? Did you do any jet kits, or you just got stock jets?
It's all stock right now. I did put a... the front pipe on it eventually when I finally dented the stock one, and there for a while it was hard to get one during the pandemic, and I finally got one. So I actually got two of them, one for a backup.
You go Pro Circuit or FMF or Bills?
It is Pro Circuit, I believe.
Yeah, okay. cool.
Anyways, it's pretty much stock. We've put a piston in it. Or have we done a second one? No. I have the kit in case I need to, but I've raced it. Works. Moran, 2 Mint 400s, best in the desert. So it's still running strong.
Yeah. Yeah, on my YZ250, I think a couple of the mods, I did the flywheel weight. I did an oversized front rotor, which really made braking power in the front really a lot better. High compression pistons and stuff like that, but foot pegs, I like to do like a wider foot peg. Right now I'm running the flow foot pegs. They seem to be really, really good. They're holding up really well. So I've used the Tusk ones as well. They seemed to hold up good on the 250X, the Honda that I had. So, jump into the current race bikes that I have. The KTM 450 XCF, so that's the desert model. KTM 450, and I've got a 2019 and a 2022. They're basically both the same bike. They didn't make a ton of changes. Some very minor changes between those years. 2023, that bike will get a total revamp. But I was just telling Corndog the difference between my 19 and my 22 is pretty drastic. Honestly, I've purpose built the 2019 to be kind of a Baja / legacy best in desert weapon. So it's more of a road race, high speed road race bike, and set up, you know, set up for that. And then my 2022 is still leaning more towards the stock settings. I mean, I've got some goodies on it, but it's more of like a Moran GP type setup. So I guess first of all, on the 2019 Baja setup, we're running, I guess we'll just go from the top down. We run the ODI Rogue grips. They're kind of a big block grip. They're fairly soft. So for your long, long duration rides like Baja Nevada, took 11 and a half hours. When you're on the bike for 11 and a half hours, you want grips that are fairly soft and comfortable that aren't going to chew up your hands. Anyway, we really like those. They're a lock-on grip. They're slightly different than what the KTMs come with. They come with the ODI, I don't know, you know, standard lock-ons, but half-waffle, I guess they are, the ODI half-waffle. Anyway, so moving on from there, we've got, I'm running the Reflex levers. Those are the breakaway levers, anodized orange. They're both brake and clutch is what I'm running on that. They're a lifetime lever. I have bent one of them, and I haven't honestly sent it back to warranty, so I don't know if I can't speak to their warranty, but I do like the levers. They're comfortable. They're very adjustable and seem to be really good. And then I'm running the Acerbis K-Future handguards. Sorry, dude, I about ripped this phone off the bench. I'm up here dancing around. Anyway, the Acerbis K-Future handguards, they're kind of flag guard style and pretty quick to change. They seem to hold up really well. They've taken some abuse, and quick and easy to change out if you need to. So I will say on my 19, I have gone through three or four start switches, which is seems really weird to me, but kind of, there, it seemed like there was a batch of bad start switches or something, because I think I changed that thing like three or four times. And then the last time I changed it, it's been good for quite a while. So,
and you have no Kickstarter.
Yep, no Kickstarter. It's all electric, so that's kind of an important little button.
I still can't wrap my head around that still.
So me either, but I will say I've been racing these bikes for 4 years now, and I do take caution in making sure that I have a good, strong battery in it. I'm running the Firepower batteries, lithium battery, and it gives it more cranking power and just seems like a better battery right off the start. So anyway, I've been running that, and you know, I put a maintainer on it pretty regularly to keep the battery charged and stuff, but knock on wood, I haven't had any issues with dead batteries or anything. So they're pretty dang bulletproof, honestly, for not having a kickstart. That was one of my worries when I first bought it, but tell you what, I don't want to go back to a kick only. The electric start is where it's at, man. Whew. I'll take that weight any day. But
sure glad my two-stroke fires up first, second kick every time.
Yeah, well, you're kicking, I'm pushing buttons.
I'm still getting the whole shot, though. Well, sometimes.
Until you crash 50 yards off the start line.
What about your sprockets? Do you do the funny DDCs?
Yeah, so
if you guys haven't heard, I use them too. So we've had him, Delaney Driving Components, on our show too in the past. So super cool dude. Anyway, go ahead.
If you want a sprocket that's just absolutely bulletproof and that you'll never have to change again, call up DDC, get one of their sprockets, Delaney Drive Components. Nate is super cool over there. Super, super good dude. Gives back to the sport. He'll probably give you a deal. Tell him you listen to our show, and you know, we told you to call, and he'll hook you up. But The DDC sprockets are absolutely amazing. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, we've been running one probably, I think, 3 seasons now. Like this 2019 bike, it's got 231.7 hours on it. And I think at about 30 or 40 hours in is when I changed the sprocket. So it's got the DDC sprocket on. It's got 200 hours on it, and still looks basically new as far as wear, you know. So absolutely amazing.
And the love of the sport he has is
unbelievable. He's passionate about the sport. He loves just taking care of people and giving back, man. He's so cool.
I'll actually be texting him tonight or tomorrow for sprockets on the Honda.
Well, I just had him send me a couple for this bike, so that I can do some testing with different gearing and stuff. But I'm not gonna really get into that tonight. That's a whole nother podcast. But anyway, yeah, DDC Nate, he'll get you sprockets. He also can hook you up with the RK chains, the best chain. It's a RKX ring. He recommends. He'll give you a recommendation for your bike and all that. But it's, I trust him 100%. Whatever he recommends, he knows what he's talking about. So his chain, the chains he can get and send them to you with your sprockets. So order that up from DDC, hook them up. And honestly, I'm not just going blow here, you guys, on these products and parts. This is stuff that we've tested, we've run, we have put through the ringer of Baja and Baja Nevada and Vegas Torino, and like, you know, we pound on this stuff, and if it doesn't hold up, I'm not going to throw it out there on this podcast or anywhere else. So this is stuff that's worked for us. We've worked out kinks, we've gotten rid of crap that doesn't work, and this is the stuff that we're running on these bikes. So anyway, yeah, the go back up top because corndog kind of got me jumped down to the bottom, but we're running fast company flex bars. I gotta be honest here, the first time I ran flex bars was probably in 2006, and I bought a set of flex bars off some dude that had bought a set, put them on his quad or Raptor or something, I can't even remember, and didn't like the setup or whatever, and so he sold them to me. Gotta be honest, I threw them on my Honda 450 clear back then. Ran them for a little while. Wasn't super stoked on them. Didn't really feel like they were doing what I thought they should do. Anyway, long story short, I didn't love them. Went back to the Renthal Twin Walls. Ran those for a long time, and finally, I don't know, 2019, 2020, we tried the flex bars again in Baja, and actually this time we played with the elastomers a little bit and messed with setups on that, and actually got it to where I really do like them. So I think setup on those is a little bit of it. Don't just buy them and slap them on, but take the time to switch out the elastomers and follow the manual and do it right. But yeah, we do like the flex bars for these long endurance races, especially in Baja. It's so rugged and rough down there. It just makes it pretty comfortable to do. It takes a little bit of that dampening and hard spike out of your hands. So good little setup there. I'm running the Scott's dampener, the above the bar. So we've got the Fast Company bars with the Scott's above it. We use the Scott's mount, and to be honest, I was a GPR fan. Still really like the GPRs, but I've gotten used to the Scott's and have found, you know, that kind of that spot where I like it. It's a little less harsh, I guess. It's a little more progressive and just smoother, I think you could say, but seems like it's working in the harshest sections where the bike wants to swap or stuff. So I don't know. They're good. They're both good, honestly. To me, I don't have a preference. I would be comfortable running either one. That being said, my 22 doesn't have a stabilizer on it, and the 19 does, and it's night and day difference. So I think I'm going to try the Precision dampener on my 22. So we'll let you know how that goes. Heard good things about it, but it's a little bit different concept on how it works and everything. So anyway, jumping down just below the stabilizer, I've got the Clean Speed cable clamp. So this is a little clamp that hooks to your stabilizer post, and then it encapsulates or traps the throttle cable tubes. And instead of your throttle cable tubes just kind of floating around up in the front, it gives them a little bit of a guide. Super cool. Check them out. Rocky Mountain has them. It's called Clean Speed cable guide. And that was a sweet little accessory that we added. And so far I've liked it a lot. So keeps things clean and organized, keeps those cables flowing. On the front of this thing, we're running a Baja Designs, Baja Designs XL Pro. It's the large diameter Baja Designs light. It's got the four LEDs and super bright. Pretty sure it's the XL Pro model. Anyway, we ran that at the Baja 1000. It was pretty good. If we were going to do it again, I would definitely probably do the dual setup, the dual Baja Design setup. But you can't get enough power out of these KTM 450 XCFs without doing some pretty serious modifications. You got to get some KTM 525 or 501 something EXC parts and swap it all over. Anyway, there's this whole kit. But if I was to do it again, I definitely would run the dual Baja Designs lights. We kind of outran our lights a little bit down there. So if it's in the budget, that's what I would do. That's what I would recommend. Moving back, we're running the IMS 3.2 gallon desert tank with the IMS quick dump, quick fill. And then moving back from there, we're running the Seat Concepts medium. I think it was the medium seat, but it kind of flares back just a little bit, just behind where your knees would be. The seat kind of flares back a little bit, and it gives you a little bit to grip on. And then the seat's so much more comfortable than the stock KTM seat, which is kind of hard. I don't know if you've ridden a KTM seat, but super, super hard.
I run the Seat Concepts on my Yamaha too, but I do the big fat, thick, I think they're the thickest model. It was actually one on Instagram. We won a contest, so.
Oh, that's rad.
And then Mark and Course a year ago, I have my Hammer Axe, and it was pretty sharp, and I ripped the crap out of the seat, so I had to send it in and get it refixed, but they did an awesome job.
Cool, they just took care of it for you, huh? Yeah. Rewrapped it?
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, the Seat Concepts seat is legit. Absolutely love it. Super, super nice. Under the seat, I'm running, honestly, I run Twin Air or the Tusk filters. They're both triple density. The Tusk ones are like $11. I buy 7 or 8 of them, and I literally will prep them, put them in a gallon Ziploc bag, and then every time I need a filter, I have it. When I get five or six dirty filters, then I'll go through and clean them all.
You taught me that same thing.
Reprep them and put them back in a Ziploc bag, man. That way you always have a clean filter. You're not caught without trying to go on a ride. Your filter's dirty. And what do? You're going for a ride. So you're going to ride with a dirty filter. You're going to suck that crap into your motor. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Okay.
I just bought one of those new filters that's got all the little pyramids on it. I forget what they call them.
Okay, yeah, the funnel web filter. Yeah,
so
those are cool. I ran that on my Honda 250X for a little while.
My ride, my 100-yard race at works, and then my ride yesterday. So I haven't opened the seat to look at it yet because I haven't really been in dust.
Yeah, I mean, the theory behind that is it has more surface area, which means you're going to let more air in. So you're not restricting anything. You get more flow, or you get maximum flow. And you have more surface area, which means it's going to stay cleaner longer, I guess, is the theory. Anyway, a couple little things with the filter. So I did run a filter skin in Baja. You've probably seen the little filter skins. They've got a string attached to them, and it comes back, and you put a Velcro thing on your back fender. Okay, so we run the filter skins. We ran one just this couple weeks ago in the Baja Nevada, pulled that sucker off, and underneath the filter's good, right? So those are cool. However, when I prepped it for Baja, I tucked the filter skin slightly under my filter, thinking I don't want it to fall off. So I tucked it underneath a little bit. When we did pull it, it was absolutely caked from the silt beds, which was good we had it on there. But having it tucked underneath, it created gaps under my filter where silt could suck in. And we actually sucked a little bit of silt. So not enough to kill us, not enough to break the bike, okay? But needless to say, I wasn't very happy when I saw that. I was pretty frustrated. At the time, I was like, I'm never using these again. But I learned from my mistake. I was on me. And now, instead of tucking it, I'll just kind of drape it over and let it ride. If it falls off, it falls off. But so far, that's worked for us. So
just
be careful with that. Don't tuck under your filter, because you're going to create just tiny little ports, tiny little holes where it can pass by it.
And I ran them in the mint on my bike, so I thought they're cool. Lifesaver.
They're cool. They work.
Saves time.
It's good theory.
And you've talked about that before. Your pit times could make or break you.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to race by 2.5 seconds. So, I mean, that's the difference between pulling a filter skin and changing a filter, right? So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, seconds matter when you're racing. Don't discount that fact, okay? When you're battling after 300 miles of the Silver State 300 and you win by 2.5 seconds, that'll wake you up to the fact that, dude, if I'd have let off in one corner, if I'd have stopped to do a tire change, if I'd have, you know, I mean, there's so many ifs.
That could be a whole other show, you know, your tires, your filter, your fuel tank, you know, your quick dump.
Yeah. How much time can you save by not? Yeah. So, I mean, think about that, you guys, when you're out there. These are things that we've learned over 30 plus years of racing.
And you had 16 pits at Baja Nevada?
16 pits in Baja Nevada. Let's figure that out. So if we could shave 30 seconds a pit, that's 8 minutes. 30 seconds a pit, okay? We shave 30 seconds every stop.
You can tell all your secrets and everybody.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, guys, I'm willing to share. Like, I'm an open book. I've learned this stuff over 30 years. If I can help you out, if this helps somebody, dude, I'm all for it. Like, I wish I'd have had a mentor or somebody to tell me these things when I was 20, 25.
Or if you think that we may be wrong or know something better that we might want to try, reach out to us.
Sure.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, we're open. We want to hear your, we want to hear your secrets too. But
crash off the start.
Anyway, getting back to the bike. So underneath my filter on the stock filter cage, the KTM stock filter cages can be a little bit sharp and can kind of poke into your filter a little bit. And Tusk makes a little cover that goes over that kind of makes it more blunt and saves the filter. So those are cool. I run those. Moving back to the front, we're going to go with the suspension. So I've tried a few different suspensions on this bike. I've kind of settled on right now. We're running the factory connection spring conversion on the forks and the bladder kit on the rear. Very good upgrade. Very, very good upgrade from stock, from the air fork going to the spring fork conversion. It gave it more consistency, more predictability. more hold up in the fork, all things that you want. You want predictability. You want to be able to hit that bump and know it's going to do the same thing this time as it did last time, right? So consistency is really important with suspension. You want it, you want to be predictable. You also want it to be comfortable. And comfort comes with a good amount of travel, comes with good dampening, good compression, just a good overall feel. And so your spring rates are important. Oil level is important. Making sure that you bleed the fork and get all the air out prior to every race or every ride, for that matter. You should bleed your forks. Do that on the stand. But the factory connection spring conversion is a phenomenal setting. We set it up for Pro Baja off-road settings. So they did a really good job. It took the kick out of the rear shock. If you've ridden the KTMs, the 19 through 22 KTMs, they like to tend to ride a little high in the rear and kick off the bumps a little bit. The factory connection settings and bladder kit in the rear shock help that a lot. And then with a little bit of high speed and low speed dampening or rebound, you can really work that out of it so that it's stable, it settles, it sits. It's going to ride a little bit lower in the rear, but it won't feel like it's going to come up on you. So some really good settings there. If you're really interested and like you really want to know our settings and stuff, hit me up on Messenger and I'll answer your questions on that. But I'm not going to go into any more detail there other than factory connection is good stuff for this year make and model. So the running the flow pegs, we're running the Acerbis skid plate. I've rebuilt this bike twice on the top end, so it's had two new pistons, probably like, I don't know, like five, six clutches, seven clutches, I don't know how many clutches, but the KTM return springs are good, but I do like to run the, I think it's made by Fastway, but it's a little return spring thing that goes on the actual plunger, and it's like 19 or 20 bucks, but it gives you a stronger brake feel with the spring, so a little more resistance. Keeps you from maybe like dragging your brake a little too much, because it seems like the KTM stock spring's a little bit soft, so it allows you to drag the brake a little bit too easy. So I like to add that extra spring in the back, which stiffens that up, lets me get better brake feel to my boot. I'm running the flow pegs. It's a little bit wider peg. They also make one that is down, like 5 millimeters or something. Drop 5 or 10 millimeters drop, and maybe even a back offset. On my teammate's bike, we're running that, and it feels comfortable. It just kind of lowers the peg just slightly and back to where it gives you a little better rider triangle if you're a bigger rider. I'm like 6'1" or 6', yeah, about 6'1". So on the taller side. What else, man? We're running the Tusk rear disc brake guard. Those are really good. I've run one on 3 different bikes of this model and make, and so far they've held up really, really well. You do need to Loctite the lower half. It's the lower half bolts to the upper half, and the bolts on the lower half will come out if you just put them in from the stock. So you need to pull those bolts, Loctite them, and then put them back in when you mount it. Otherwise, you'll probably lose those bolts. Then we're running the TM Designs chain slider and chain guide. Super durable, super thick. They hold up really well. I'm on my second set, I think. I ran through the stock stuff, and then I put that on. I ran through that. Now I'm on my second set in 231 hours, so they hold up really well. I also am running a, what is it, Moto Billet? Oh. Yeah, the Billet Proof. Billet Proof makes a chain guide bracket that kind of protects your tabs that mount the chain guide. So I know you guys, if you've been riding any amount of time, you've seen a buddy or somebody that has broken off their chain guide, right? The mounts, the arms that go to the swing arm, the little mounts that hold the chain guide on just rip completely off. Anyway, Billet Proof makes a little thing that bolts on there and protects those, strengthens them, makes them better. So when you're slamming through the rocks and have a hard hit, you're not going to rip your tabs off. So those are really cool. Other than that, just some Acerbis side guards. Keep the frame. Yeah, the frame guards. Keep the frames clean. I also run the Acerbis front fork shoe guards. Those protect the bottom of the fork. Fork lug or fork shoes, whatever you call them. Anyway, that's pretty much my setup. Outside of my KTM wheels, I'm running a Tusk wheel set now, and as my primary set, and then I've got a backup set of KTM wheels that are still okay. But I did break one KTM rim, and a couple things with that is the stock rims. You need to know the stock rims, the spokes like to come loose, so you need to continually check those because the KTM stock ones like to come loose. So I bought the Tusk torque wrench for spokes, and I torque them to 48 inch pounds. And if you're not sure how to do that and keep your wheel true, you need to watch a video on YouTube. Don't just go and do it. There's a pattern. You do like every fourth one, and then you move up one and do every fourth one and move up. Anyway, watch a video on it. Don't just go cranking on your spokes, because you'll pull your rim out of true. So make sure you do it right. Don't screw that up. Anyway, that's pretty much all I got for you. On that bike, I'm actually running the stock pipe and silencer. On my 22, I've got the FMF pipe and silencer. I feel like it's really good. I feel like that bike could be the ECU mapped. Clean it up a little bit, especially if you're running an aftermarket exhaust. So I do have plans to send that out and get an ECU done on my 22 and test that, but for right now, that's what we're running, man. So those are all products that I've tested and think are quality stuff. We're running them, we're using them. On the Baja Nevada bike, I will say we did my teammate Ty did a linkage, aftermarket linkage, and I'll have to get the info on that, but it lowered the bike in the rear just a little bit, which helped take away that high rear feel and kick. For high speed stuff, you want to set the bike up kind of lower in the rear, drop the forks a little bit in the tubes, so maybe on that top line, which is going to give you more stability out of that bike. And the further back you run your rear wheel, the more stability you're going to get. So anyway, yeah, we used that linkage that lowered it and dropped it back a little bit, and that showed some really promising results. So that was cool. Anyway, that's kind of what we're doing here. So that's my Baja setup for the 2019 KTM 450 XCF. What do you think, Corn Dog? Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to go get orange. Steal all your secrets.
Yeah, what's crazy is, like I said, how different my 2019 is from my 2022. You can hop on one and then hop over to the other, and it feels totally, just totally different. It's kind of crazy to see how much different the same bike with a different setup can be, you know. But
a couple things I want to add on my Yamaha. I do the radiator braces, guards, and I do the shark fin, and then I have the moose on the moose, whatever you call it, guard on the Honda. But and then, of course, we always do our fancy, pretty graphics. I'm not sure who you use. I used to use Metro Print, Mark, but he had some medical issues, and he's getting back to it. Love Mark. And currently I'm using the Pin Motorsports guy out of Vegas. He really stepped up the game. I was like a couple days before the Mint 400 in December, and somebody gave me his name, and he hooked it up. So he did everything I wanted without even hesitating with the time frame I gave him. So I've had a couple of things made from him now, and meet him in Vegas, pick it up, and works good.
Yeah, no, the graphics, yeah, I mean, there's so many guys out there doing it, but if you can support local, that's cool. Yep. I mean, I think I've been using factory backing. I think they're out of California, but they got quick turnaround and put out some pretty good quality stuff. So I like the quality of their graphics. They hold up really well. But so one other thing we did to this 2019. So when the first time I rebuilt it, we had to go in and open the motor up anyway. So I decided, okay, I'm going to put, you know, a new top end, piston rings, all that in it. While I'm in there, I might as well split the case and do the six gear conversion. So this bike does have the six speed conversion in it. Right now we're running 1448 gearing, but like I said, I'm going to mess around with gearing a little bit. And I've got some theories on that I'm working through right now to see if we can't be a little bit faster, not total top speed, but faster overall. Maybe step that rear sprocket up one or two teeth and just get a little more pull out of all the corners and a little less top speed, but get up to speed quicker. So we're messing with some stuff, but the six speed in that really makes an awesome, awesome difference. I don't know if you've ridden one of these bikes, but you can get up to fifth gear really quick, and that bike still is pulling like a dog, man. It's just ripping, and the bike just feels like it needs another gear. Like you literally will shift a couple times to see if you really are in fifth gear. So as soon as I did that six speed conversion, it made all the gears a little bit tighter together, but you have six gear and it just pulls so awesomely on the top with that six speed without wrapping the motor super high RPM. So six speed conversion is legit. It's awesome. Takes a little bit of knowledge to get in there and put a new shift drum and new six gear sprockets and gearing, I guess, gears inside the transmission. But there's a kit to do, you know, well, it's not really a kit, but there's if you want to do that, hit me up. I'll get you the part numbers that you need to do that. But definitely worth doing if you're doing any long distance high speed road racing or high speed riding. It's awesome. Love it.
Nice. I'm glad mine came with it.
Yeah, or that's the other option, is just buy one that has it. So
well, cool. Yeah, hope we didn't bore you too much tonight. We're just talking love, talking dirt bikes, our passion.
Yeah. Sorry if I'm super monotone, but I'm trying. Anyway, yeah, hopefully I didn't put you to sleep. But if you're out in the shop working, maybe you got something out of this. Who knows? Maybe,
we'll get you some helium balloons and talk that way next time.
It was just a crappy podcast. I don't know.
No. Hey, so if we reach out and inspire one person, it's worth it.
Yep. Real quick, too, on, like, I guess a little plug on a couple of my other sponsors, Blood Lubricants.
Phenomenal guys.
Super, super good guys. Super good oil. We're running their Scorpion Blood 1550 in this bike. absolutely torture testing this oil. We, like I said, we just raced the Baja Nevada 630-mile race, and there were sections where shifted into sixth gear, wide open, throttled to the stop for probably five, six miles, nonstop, never lifted. I mean, we're just pushing these motors super, super hard, 11 and a half hours on the same oil, and you know, you drain the oil and it doesn't look like water. I've had other oils where you drain it and it's black, it's used up, and it's like water coming out. So this stuff doesn't break down nearly as bad as some of the oils I've used. I mean, there's some good stuff out there, but the blood, Scorpion blood, blood lubricant stuff is really good. And then got to give a plug to my other sponsor, Kenda Tires. These guys have been awesome to support us, but probably my number one go-to favorite tire from Kenda is the Parker DT rear. The Kenda Parker DT is just an absolute awesome all-around rear tire. If you're riding in any desert conditions, doesn't matter if it's deep sand, rocks, fast roads, you name it, it's those tires just hook up really, really well. They are directional, so I've screwed that up a few times and put it on the hard direction, and it actually is noticeable difference from hard to intermediate for me. So
is that why you were going backwards on the course?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, I like it on the intermediate direction, so that's my recommendation. And then the front tire, I've tried a few different ones. I keep going back to the triple sticky front. Really, really like it. The Parker front is decent in most conditions. The triple sticky just seems really good, other than it probably doesn't last quite as long. The knobs tend to roll off on the sides sooner, but the traction I get out of it is just total confidence. So do love the triple sticky, but right now I'm kind of shifting over a little bit to the Washougal 3. I'm going to give that a try. So we've ran the Washougal 2s. They're pretty dang good. And Drew Blackley from Kenda actually highly recommended the Washougal 3. So I'm going to give that a go. And that wraps it up, guys. That wraps it up.
Yep.
And if you don't like changing flats, pick a good moose and run it.
Yep. Well, let's call it. Let's get out of the shop. It's actually getting a little warm in here.
It is toasty. I should have turned the AC on.
I know we had the barrel races in Alamo this last Friday. I did not make it.
Me either.
So me either. Hopefully first they had a good turnout. I heard it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So let's call it. Reach out to us if you guys agree or disagree with our show tonight. Let us know. If you have any tips, let us know. I mean, we'll throw them out there. And our Facebook is Katie Eric, our Instagram, The Desert Dirt Biker, and of course our email, thedesertdirtbiker@gmail.com, and big things coming.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad to have you all, and looking forward to a trail ride soon. Hope to see you out there.
Yep. See you at the races.
You have just listened to another episode of the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure you tune in next time. See you at the races.